I just had a friend text me from Idaho, and he said, what are you preaching today on? And I'm like, I'm starting a series called Hell No, you know? And he's like, uh-oh, that's why I thought you needed prayer. We're going to start with one scripture, the famous scripture, in Luke chapter 16, verse 19. And if Tanya can put a number up there that you can text with your questions, because this whole month we'll be going through a series called Hell No. You might wonder, why did you even choose this series, right? Hell is not a popular issue to talk about these days. Why don't we like talking about hell? There's 150 scriptures, verses in the Bible about hell. Divided into 15 verses per chapter, that would be 10 chapters in the Bible about hell. That's almost as much as anything out there. I mean, that's at the top. Jesus actually talked about hell, I think, more than money. You've probably heard the scripture. He said, if your eye is bothering you, rip it off, because it's better for you to enter heaven without one eye than to be thrown into hell for eternity. I mean, and then he says, if your arm is bothering you. Now, obviously, he didn't mean rip off your arm. But he said, make whatever it is that you battle with in life, if it's your eyes you're battling with, guys, if we're battling with pornography, then he says it's better to rip it off. So he's talking about a battle that we should fight. It should be as severe as ripping your eye out. Obviously, if you rip your eye out, you can still go to hell. It doesn't matter if you have eyes or not. You could not accept Jesus and you can go to hell. So the point is not to rip your eye out. And the point is not to rip the eye of your brother or sister, you know, the point is to do surgery on yourself, and it's not talking physical, spiritual battle, to the point that it almost seems like you're ripping out your eye, okay? Why don't people want to talk about hell? What is the problem with that? I mean, it's in the Bible, we talk about love. Why don't we like to talk about hell? Another reason we don't want to talk about hell, think about this, is because if we have unbelieving friends or relatives, we cannot even imagine, right? I mean, hell is not imaginable. Okay, let me give you an example. Let's say this is a timeline. This is zero. This is plus. Plus 100 is this wall, right? Okay, this is zero. Minus 100 is this table right here. Okay? So, let's say that this is about plus 10, minus 10, plus 10, right? Our imagination, human imagination, is limited. How many of you can agree with that? We're just so limited. If we can only imagine heaven, we probably imagine it up in this level right here, plus 10. If we maybe imagine hell, we can probably imagine it minus 10. Right? But this is what the Bible says about heaven. Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor it came to the mind of man, what God has prepared for those that love Him. Okay? We're limited when we think about heaven. We're limited when we think about hell. Really, we don't want to go past minus one when we talk about hell. Heaven we'll think about. If you were ask any person, if you were to die, would you go to heaven or hell? What would you think most people will tell you? They would say heaven. So, if they believe in heaven for good people, why is it so hard to believe in hell for bad people? Why are we all talking about heaven? Oh, I want to go there. I'm excited about it. Oh, when the troubles are over, there will be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain. Why are we so afraid to talk about hell? Obviously, we don't want to go there, right? But there is a bigger issue. Our society and the secularism of our nation has made hell unreal, so people won't think about it. And if they don't think about it, there's no fear of living a godly life. You know, Bible has a lot to say about hell, and most people will never investigate what Bible really says about it. Yes, heaven, we can imagine, you know, but hell, we don't even investigate about it. So let's read Luke chapter 16, verse 19. Ready? This is Jesus talking about hell. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. So parties, you know, partied every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate. So there's this rich man, and there's Lazarus, who is a poor man, laying in front of his gate. Okay, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So this poor man is desiring to eat. This rich man is not really caring about this man. All he's doing is throwing some crumbs to him. Have you ever fed the birds? Have you ever fed your dog? You know how when you eat, your dog comes to you and he's your best friend. He's smiling. I mean, he's just, his tail is wiggling around. And you take a little bit of chicken and you throw it to him. Mostly the bones. Amen? So this is the same thing. This Lazarus was eating with the dogs. And those dogs were licking him in the process. Now what this Bible says, many will come to the throne of God when they die. And it says that Jesus said, I do not know you because I was hungry and you did not feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me nothing to drink. I was in prison and you didn't visit me. I was without clothes and you wouldn't clothe me. And they said, Jesus, when did we see you like this? And he said, if you didn't do it for the least of these brethren of mine, you didn't do it unto me. So what was the sin of this rich man? It's not that he was rich, but he was greedy, people. He was greedy. He wouldn't feed nobody. And Jesus directly commended it to us that we should take care of the poor. We shouldn't be greedy for gain. Amen. Now, is it a sin to be rich? I want to be rich. Yeah. The blessing of the Lord makes one, and he adds no sorrow with it. So getting rich God's way is being merciful and not greedy, giving it to receive. Getting rich, and then it says, those who want to get rich fall into many temptation and snares. So a person who desires to be rich, I want to be rich, I want to be rich. Those are the ones that fall into different types of temptation. How do we do it God's way? Giving to receive, right? So there's this rich man and both of them die. Let's read it. So it was, the beggar died and was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom. Bosom means, in those days, heaven type place, holding place, like a little paradise. The rich man also died and was buried and being tormented in Hades. Hades is another word for hell. There is actually so many words in the Bible for hell. I'm going to give them to you. So, and being tormented in Hades. Wow. Torture is usually from the outside, right? Torment is usually from the inside out. I don't know if you ever felt the pain, not physical pain, that it was worse than the physical body could ever hurt. And you've all experienced emotional pain in your life. You want to pinch yourself. Have you ever had a moment when it was hard to breathe even? Because it was so hurtful. It was such pain you were going through. That you just want to like rip yourself off. I mean, I know why people cut themselves. Now, I don't encourage it. I don't support it. Obviously, we're against it. But people do crazy things because of the inner pain. What about multiplying it times 1,000 first year, then 10,000 the second year, and it never stops. And you can't go insane, because if going insane would be a way out. You can't be sane and you can't go insane and you're alone. Do you know that a lot of people would have bad relationships if they can't find good ones? Why? Because loneliness. Hell is total loneliness, torment and loneliness. You know that God looked at first man, Adam, and he said, it's not good for a man to be alone, right? So we were not created for loneliness. That's why people would have bad friends instead of not having any friends at all. That's why it's our responsibility to make sure that people in our church find friends. That's why we have growth groups. So you find friends, because if you're alone, you will find someplace, something to be connected to. It might not be good. Amen? All right, so this guy is tormented in Hades. And he lifts up his eye and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So he looks up and sees this paradise, this rich man. And there was Abraham. Who is Abraham? He's the father of faith, right? He's the first man who believed God. And from his heritage, Jesus came. Then he cried out. This is the rich man. Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this place. Some people say, well, it's just loneliness up there. Some people say it's just darkness up there. You can't see anybody. It's true. Some people say, well, it's not real pain fire. But this man really felt pain. Imagine this. I want to make it as horrible as possible because we need to fear hell. Jesus, the reason he spoke about hell, so we would fear it. The reason Jesus gave us promises in the Bible, so we would be encouraged to live a holy life, right? That's why the promises are there. The reason we have hell scriptures in the Bible, so we would be encouraged and fear, so we would end up in hell and live a holy life. So both ways. Promises, so we would be encouraged to live a holy life. Fear or hell, so we would fear and live a... Because human beings, we need both. You know, you just need both. Bible says, behold the severity and goodness of God. That's Romans 11, 22. Behold the severity and goodness of God. Both. God is both. Okay? Then Lazarus cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue. Okay, so imagine this. You are thirsty. Have you ever been a day thirsty without drinking? Probably not. I've never been thirsty more than a day. Imagine being thirsty a day. I mean, it's horrible. Imagine being thirsty 2 days. Your lips start swelling and cracking. Imagine being thirsty for 3 days. After that, you're dead pretty much, right? You can't live more than, what, 3 days? Yeah. But imagine you can't die and you're still thirsty and the thirst is getting more and more. And your tongue is just... And he says, please, just have him dip the finger and put it on my tongue. So, I mean, just a little bit of relief will do it for me. I don't know if there's fire. Bible says there is, and I'll prove it to you. I don't know if you believe there is a fire. But this man was thirsty. So obviously there is no water in hell. Water is life. It represents life. Imagine living without a water in this world. I mean, we think we could because we have it. But in a desert, Sahara or other deserts, people know that without water, there is no life. And as soon as you put some water, life starts growing. So this man is just thirsty and he says, Father, please. Look at the audacity of this guy. He's commanding Lazarus to serve him again. He's like, Abraham, listen, I can't command you to do it, but command this guy, Lazarus, who was laying by my gate, you know, who I didn't feed because I was greedy. Command him so he would take some water and put it on my tongue. But Abraham said to him, verse 25, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted and you are tormented. Comforted and tormented. And listen to this verse. This is crazy. I'm going to say something crazy here, okay? And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. So that those who want to pass from here to you cannot. Nor can those from there to us cannot. There's a great, huge gulf. I don't know what you want to call it. Canyon, Grand Canyon or something big. Something pit with bottomless pit. I mean, there's no bottom to it. And he said, those who want to pass from hell to heaven, cannot. Obviously, people in hell want to cross to heaven, but they can't. But notice something else. Those who want to pass from heaven to hell, think about it. Think about it. Those who want to pass from heaven to hell cannot either. Why would people want to pass from heaven to hell? That's crazy to me. I don't know if this is just coincidence, but it freaks me out. I don't want to be worrying about people from heaven to hell, about people in hell. You know what I mean? Let me give you
a good news here. From heaven, you won't be able, after judgment, you won't be able to see people in hell. But because the story that Jesus is talking about is before his resurrection. Hell was a place of holding of souls, it's called. There was two compartments to it. There is a compartment for people who died in righteousness, and there is a compartment from people who died in their sins. After Jesus died and went into hell, remember that? Bible says he separated hell from these two parts. He separated them. I'm going to talk about that during this series, 3 more weeks, okay? So I'm not going to go there, but this is something to think about. He said, those who want to go from heaven to hell cannot. Those who want to go from hell to heaven cannot either. Then listen to this. This should be cry of each one of our heart. Verse 27. Then he said, I beg you therefore. Now notice the rich man is not arguing about that truth. He's not saying, well, maybe there's an exception. No. There is no exception. Okay. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. So obviously, notice who died first. The rich man died first. Lazarus died second. Rich man is already burning, looking up, and he saw this man who was sitting by his gate. And he said, he just died so you can resurrect him. So rich man believes in what? Resurrection. Can you believe this fool is believing now in resurrection? Before he didn't care. So notice he's burning here, I don't know, maybe for a year, for 2 years. And he's looking up and he's like, Lazarus, you just got here. That means you have 3 days. You know, you can go back. Abraham, please send him back. Send him back, please. Why? Why? Why is he so caring about this man Lazarus now? All of a sudden. Why does he care about him? And look what he says. I beg you therefore, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers. Notice, in hell, this man cares about what? His family. Notice he doesn't care about his country, about his friends. He cares about his family. Let me ask you a question. Do you care about your family? See, rich man had no opportunity to change anymore. We know the end of the story. But we have an opportunity. If there was one advice that a rich man can give you today, go to your family. I know a lot of us here, we have family who's not believers. If we could take one advice from hell, is send somebody or go to your family. So they wouldn't, and let's read it. I beg you that you would send it to my father. I have 5 brothers that he may testify to them. Oh, look at him now. The advice is that we would testify to our family. You're saved. Yes, great. We like the music. We like the worship. We love the presence. We love the people. But what about our family? I believe after this series, I believe this is from God. I believe it. I couldn't sleep all night. I had thousands of thoughts going through my mind. How am I going to do this? But I believe God wants our families to be saved. He didn't save us just for us. And you know, a lot of times we want to save the world. Who cares about that? In hell, you don't care about the world. You care about your family. This rich fool was being tormented and thinking, I hope my brothers don't come here. I hope they don't come here. I hope nobody. So listen to this. Is there love in hell? I don't know. But for sure this man cared about his brothers. If a man in hell with demons and Satan and all those creatures there cares about his brothers, why don't we care about our brothers? I'm talking family now. I'm not talking about City of Sioux Falls. I'm talking relatives. I'm talking best buddies type thing. And see, as long as they are alive, you have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to make sure they don't go to hell. As long as they're alive. Thank you, Lord. Lest they come to this place of torment. I don't want him to come to this place of torment. So please send somebody. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham. This is a rich man again. But if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. If one will be raised from the dead, they will repent. And listen to what Abraham says to him. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded though one is raised from the dead. I believe this, if people knew how horrible the pain of hell would be, if they could feel for a moment what pain of hell is, they would do everything possible. They would grab people by their hands if they could. Obviously, it's a free world. Everybody has to make a decision. But they would grab people by the hands to make sure they don't go there. What are we doing to get our brothers and sisters not going to hell? You know why we don't do it? Because we don't like being persecuted. The reason I don't do it, because if you start telling somebody, hey, hell is real, heaven is real, where are you going? They'll tell you it's none of your business, you're intolerant, bigot, you know. Keep your faith to yourself, and they might get offended at you. And many times I wouldn't do it. Just last week, I had a friend of mine, and he is a truck driver, and he was driving in Montana, and he was sleeping, and he had a partner, and they just switched. And this guy was driving, and he started going off the road and hit some kind of a post and hit a trailer house or something. And what happened, they said, was that the razor wire entangled his truck around so many times. I don't know how or what happened. And one of the metal stakes went right through him. I know this guy. He's not here anymore. Thank God he had a Christian parents. They were praying for him. He had 2 minutes, people. And he was not a Christian. He was a backslider. You know, in and out, in and out. He had this big spike in him. And God gave him 2 minutes. And he started yelling, Father, forgive me. I lived a horrible life. God, forgive me. Jesus, please, don't take me there. Take me to a good place. Started yelling 2 minutes. Before the cops could come, before the ambulance could come, he was gone. Thank God he knew about Jesus. Thank God he had a moment to repent. What if it hit his mind and he had no time to repent? I'm so glad though that he got saved. Yesterday, some people were climbing trees here in Sioux Falls. Not climbing actually, using a boom truck. And they got to high power lines and they were electrocuted and just burned up. Had no brain activity. Their heart would still, you know, pump, but no brain activity. Two of them. One is taken to Minneapolis on a helicopter. Life is short. It doesn't matter if you have a dangerous job or not dangerous job. Life is short. Our relatives are not going to be here forever. What are we going to do? What are we going to do about it? All right, let's get into a little bit more of details. Somebody said if you go through all the churches in America right now, you would probably not hear any one of them preaching about hell. Imagine this. Imagine you were in a hotel room, right? And there was a gas leak and you couldn't smell it. You were sleeping. Somebody came and started banging on your door. I mean, and you're just like, what's up? I mean, what do you want? Get away. And somebody would yell, there is a gas leak. And you say, I don't feel anything. And go back to sleep. You would be responsible for your own decision, right? But imagine you died and nobody really told you about it. Or you got hurt, burned, and nobody even knocked on your door. That would be inhuman. Not a lot of people hear about hell anymore. It's all about the love of Jesus. It's all about the goodness of Jesus. Paul says, Romans 11:22. Remember, 11:22. Behold, the severity and the goodness of God. Or behold, the severity and love of God. So there's two parts to God. So if you talk about goodness, everybody loves the goodness. And most people hate severity. But that's what they need to hear. Why should we talk about hell? Anyway, you know, why should we as a church, most of us are Christian here, why should we talk about hell? Three reasons, okay? One, we have a greater appreciation of our salvation. We didn't even get to the parts of what it's going to be like in hell. Just wait, that's coming up. So it gives us a greater appreciation of salvation. If you know about hell, you'll appreciate the cross and the suffering of Jesus even more. Do you know that God, and people said, how can a good God send people to hell? Simple, because he did everything possible for you not to go there. He actually is so good, before you thought about hell, he thought about you 2,000 years ago. He thought about me. Wow. So that's how good he is. But you know what? He's not going to grab your hand and says, come to heaven with me. He's like, I give you choice. Heaven or hell, life or death, blessing or cursing. He says, choose life. Choose life. He says, I can't take you to heaven unless you want to be there. The reason people will end up in hell, because they wanted to be there, knowingly or unknowingly. The reason people will end up in heaven, because they wanted to be there. I want to be with my wife, but I'm sleeping in somebody else's house. Whoo! What would you say? You don't want to be with your wife. You want to be somewhere else, right? Bad example? Good point. It's like we're saying, I want to be in heaven, but why are you living in somebody else's house? Who's your father? Jesus said to some people who are very religious, he said, your father is the devil. If I was your father, you'd be going with me. You'd be on my side. If I love my wife, I would be with her. Oh, I love my wife, but I got a girlfriend on the side, you know. Two, so we can walk in fear of the Lord. Proverbs 16:6. So we can have the fear of the Lord. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, for sin. And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. You know why it's so hard for you to stop doing evil things in your life? No fear. If the reason you're afraid to beat somebody up, because you fear lawsuit or a prison cell. Interesting thing that we fear more people who can put us in prison for a month or so, than we fear God who can put us for eternity. Why? Because we're reminded, if you break the law, you're going to jail. If you speed, you're going to get a penalty. But with God, oh, it's by grace, hallelujah. Fly away, oh glory. Right? So, fear of the Lord, what does it do? Underline that scripture. And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. No fear, you will do all the evil you want. So fear, we're not supposed to fear anything but the Lord. And if we fear Him, no evil. We'll depart from evil. Hallelujah. Listen to what John Calvin said. He said this, promises of God are to excite and encourage us to holiness of life. So the threats are likewise necessary to restrain us by anxiety and fear. So fear is designed to be like a fence, invisible fence that protects you from doing evil. If you don't have fear of the Lord protecting you, you'll fear everything else. All kinds of phobias. You're afraid of flying. You're afraid of walking. You're afraid of going out of your house. You're afraid of hitting somebody while you're driving. You're afraid of everything else. Why? Because we've forsaken the greatest fear. That's fear of the Lord. And in our modern society, it's not cool to fear the Lord. Yeah, you should fear everybody else. Republicans or Democrats. Bush or Obama. Whatever. You can fear anybody you want. I mean, they'll create fear in you, right? The media will. You know, global warming. Anything.
Listen to me, people. Global warming might be real, might be not. That's not what I'm talking about. But the fear of it is to replace the fear of God in you. Just listen to me. Now, it could be real, could be not. Some say yes, some say no. Because it's been really cold this year. But the point is, but I heard a guy in Australia stop eating or drinking because he had this global warming phobia. It's a new thing. Global warming fear. He said, if I eat or drink, the planet will die. Guess who's afraid? He's not afraid of God. God is in charge of this planet. God is in charge of every life. And they have to institutionalize him. He's possessed by fear of global warming. Not that, you know, we shouldn't clean the planet. I enjoy going to Florida or Hawaii and it's beautiful out there. I don't want tires laying around on the beach. So fear of the Lord will protect us from doing what? Evil. So why should we preach about hell in the churches? Because it will protect our people and us from doing evil. Okay? How would you like to have a doctor who would tell you, you have a can, not sir, a can. Just half, you know? He wouldn't tell you the whole truth. He wouldn't say you have cancer. He would say you have a can. How would you like to have a doctor who wouldn't say your disease, which is like on, what, fourth or fifth or sixth degree or whatever it is, the cancer is spreading and he's saying, no, not a big deal, you know? It's not popular to talk about cancer in our days. You know? Just think positive, you know? Don't think about it. And then you drop dead. And your relative's like, what's up? This doctor would be so sued. I mean, he wouldn't be able to keep a penny. I mean, he wouldn't be able to be without a job. And yet, people try to choose pastors who would tell them half-truth. Behold the goodness of God, church. Behold how good he is and how pleasant he is. He's love. Yes, I believe it, but that's half of it. He created heaven. Guess what? He created hell because devil cannot create anything. And if he could create heaven that we cannot imagine it, it would be an embarrassment to God to create hell that was just, you know, fire, a little fire, you know, like a flashlight fire, you know, a cigarette lighter fire, you know. No. If he created something so great here, he's a God who created something so terrible there. And you know that actually hell was not created for human beings. Bible said that hell was created for devil and his angels. Question my wife asked me yesterday. We were driving around in Iowa. We were just driving around and talking about hell and it's beautiful. I mean, no cars at all. You just drive through Iowa and there's nothing. And so we were thinking, and we're like, why did God even do that? And the answer that came to me, people, God had one rebellion in heaven. He's not going to have one again. If he allows people who were not believers, who died in their sins, to go to his house, they will make a rebellion in his house. That's why he has everybody on earth to be tested. And this is where you choose. So you don't create mess up there for him again, like Lucifer did. He said, why don't you just choose here? Here. This is your choice. Choose it. If you choose bad, you have to live with your choice. You know, we live where people says we're not responsible for our choices. Yeah. We live in a time that it's not your fault. Yeah, you had three bankruptcies, but it's still not your fault. You know, somebody else's fault, you know. Come on, we live in that, you know. But listen to me. But listen to me. We are responsible for our choices. Point number three. Why should we talk about hell in the church? And I've never preached about this. This is in my 6 years' time, one time. So it's not like I preach about this all the time. To cause urgency and greater desire for testimony and witness to our loved ones. If you get anything from this and you're saved, I want you to get this urgency.
this great desire to make sure that your family, your relatives, your friends don't end up there. In John chapter 8, Jesus said, verse 24, "Therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe me that I am he, you will die in your sins." The most horrible thing you can wish upon a person is to die in their sins. And you ask me, aren't we all sinners till the day we die? Yes. But there's people who are, Jesus said, unless you do what? Believe. Let me read it again. "Therefore I say unto you, you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." So the way not to die in your sins, because if you die in your sins, God can't help you. You know, like people say, God help you? No, God can't help you anymore. So don't die in your sins. Don't allow anybody in your family, in your relatives, to die in their sins. Jesus says, if you don't believe in me, you will die in your sins. If you believe, you will not die in your sins. Why? Because he died for us. I read a story of a person who went to hell and saw people being crucified. If you don't accept the exchange of Jesus' crucifixion, you'll be crucified instead for eternity. I'd rather have him be crucified and his righteousness fall on me and my dirtiness and sins and filth and, you know, I mean, we're bad. I mean, we're horrible as people. But guess what? The difference is that I can exchange everything of mine filth. Bible says our righteousness is like a filthy rags. But I can put my filthy rags on him and take his glorious, kingly, righteous, holy. When people would touch him, they would be healed on me. But see, if you don't do that, if you're too proud to say, I need him, you will have to be crucified for eternity. People, listen to me. God doesn't want you to be crucified. That's why he loved you. Do you understand the love of God? He knew that all of us would go there if it wasn't for Jesus. So he sends his Jesus, gives us this great opportunity. Oh, I feel the presence of God on this because something is being said. So we would never be there. But then he gave us a choice.